Blog Talk Radio.
That's one more thing, Glenn. I mean, it's just that our history is just incredible. Let me do this. I want to run through these with you because
sure.
I'm sitting here. I'm so excited about this stuff as it is. And when we talk about, like, we're going through terminology, and I know in tradition, we covered some local terminology.
Sure.
And I'm going to hit on these one after another and go ahead and tell the listeners. Tell us about exempt first.
Well, exempt, just real quickly, exempt firefighters is a term that's actually still used in the Northeast. Back in the 19th century, to encourage firefighters to encourage people to join the fire companies, they had to have an incentive because back then, to some extent, they had to have incentive. But back then, as we talked about earlier, people were much perhaps more regulated than they are today. I mean, it was a requirement, for example, that you had to serve in the militia, okay, back in the 19th century. Militia, of course, we think about militia today as kind of people out in the woods with fatigues on and stuff. But the militias actually were organized local military units, basically, based within the state and then within individual cities. There were militia companies. Well, anyway, because firefighting started to become really, really important, obviously really important, but also more time consuming, it was recognized by the states that, the cities that, to encourage people to become firefighters, that they had to give them, to some extent, an incentive to stay on and what have you. So they essentially created an exemption status for militia duty. But they also extended it to jury duty as well. And so what the weird thing is that, of course, we don't have militias in cities anymore. I mean, we don't call them that. We call them the National Guard today. But you think about, like, here in New Jersey, where I am, or New York, we still have this term exempt, and the term today has become more ceremonial than anything else. After in New Jersey, after you put 7 years in the fire service, you're eligible to become exempt. Now, up until recently, until our former governor, Christy Whitman, decided to get rid of it, we used to actually be exempt from jury duty as well up until recently. It was probably one of the few thank yous that a volunteer firefighter gets, other than perhaps a clothing allowance or something along those lines. So,
I know being exempt here means you don't get overtime.
right, exactly. And now we think about exempt as to do with civil service, non-civil service, things like that. But the term exempt, actually, even California, they used it because California, especially in San Francisco, they used to follow the New York model. So, but yeah, the term exempt has sort of gone into the history books to some extent. But that's something we use today.
Okay, next, Jake.
A Boston term for firefighter, basically. It's a very New Englandish kind of term. I know New England people are going to be mad if I try to explain what this is, but we'll just leave it at that. We'll say it's a Boston area firefighter.
Well, and we're trying to get it here. Curtis Burt, you know Curtis, my brother,
yeah.
And longtime instructor at FDIC. He and Danny McDonough are doing the firefighter safety survival programs that they've taught with us forever.
Sure.
He named his son, his firstborn, Jake. Named him Jake. So, okay, next, loom up, and info bloom.
Well, the looming up, I think, is probably from your neck of the woods in the Chicago area. I mean, I think that's where that's really came from. I know in full bloom is one that I had put down because that was something that was new to me when I moved to San Antonio in Texas. So. That's a term that I think they still use down there and everything for working fire, basically.
Okay.
From that area.
Well, and it's kind of funny because, we've been bouncing around talking about different areas and I fall into some habits of, Chicago with the Chicago Fire Department with, I've got a, you know, two and a half story single family dwellings, you know, heavy fire, blah, 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 two lines of the fire, roofs being open, primary searches. There'll be more on this office. In New York, that's, they're going to talk about doubtful. You know, the doubtful will hold things, kind of telling you that we might, it gets the office, I think the alarm office, looking at the next card and telling them, okay, we might be going one more alarm on this.
Right.
I know when I moved here, I heard the term Calvin Allison, who retired here as a captain, a great guy. He's now the chief in Pilot Point, Texas. First time I ever heard him, radio that he was out on the scene and said, it's a Jinnin. There was another one, Jinnin.
Right.
And then I remember Stan Steadman, a legendary dispatcher here, just retired. This guy's what an incredible man. To pull your boots up. And first time I heard, I said, did he say, put your socks on, pull your boots? What was the, well, now, you know, pull your boots up. And it's just, you'll hear on, with even with Dallas, you'll hear them bump out of one alarm and then you'll hear, pull them up, you know, and just telling you, you got a job. And sure. I know in Chicago, it was crack the speaker, you know, when they cracked the speaker,
right.
In the firehouse. I mean, the terminologies are, it's just, it's incredible. We trumpets and real quick. And I know we're getting towards kind of the end here for today, cause we're going to have if Bobby will let us, we're going to do, you know, maybe one, we have to do probably two more, Glenn, and I'm looking forward to it. You mentioned briefly, you know, the Maltese Cross, and everybody knows the story of, you know, the Knights of St. John, the Saracens and all that stuff and everything. But when was, and we hit this just a little bit, when was the Maltese Cross first used and by who in North America as a symbol of the fire service?
Well, the earliest, let's take it one step back just real quickly.
Okay.
The first badges that I'm aware of that were issued more of an organized basis was really in New York in 1855. And the reason they were issued actually was because they were having a tremendous problem with ne'er-do-wells basically showing up at fire scenes and looting and what have you and stuff. And this was a way of identifying who was, quote, official or who was unofficial. So you had this shield-shaped badge. Come 1860, they basically issued individual smaller badges that were shaped and had different shapes to them depending upon their engine, hose, or hook and ladder company. And again, but they were issued to individual people. And of course, in the 1860s, the Civil War comes into play, and the Fifth Corps was one of the units within the Union Army that used essentially a Maltese cross as its symbol. And I've never to this day have found the direct connection, but I'm sure this is where it came from. By 1865, New York goes to the Metropolitan Fire Department. They have another shield-shaped badge. And then 1870 is time period in which New York adopts the Maltese cross as their
So it was
their
New
symbol.
York
yeah,
that
and
adopted
I,
the Maltese cross.
Yeah, and
as far
I
suspect, as we know.
And this is just speculation because I've never found this because I see the requirements for it, but there's no background material. They don't explain the regulations why they did things. But all I can do is suspect that the earliest commissioners of the paid fire service in New York City, essentially these were fellows that came did not come out of the fire service. They actually were military people that were brought in to basically be the commissioners of the fire department, the primary ones. And I suspect that with their military background, this somehow became the connection to the Maltese Cross. I'm sure, like I said, I haven't found it to this day. I'm sure someday I might find some reference to it. But
well, and it's just amazing, Glennie, like we talked about. I mean, we've got our officers here wear badges that have parade belts around the center seal and around the trumpets and the braid that's around it and everything. And you mentioned something. Well, we're kind of finishing up today, and you mentioned when the New York Fire Department went to the Metropolitan. Take us through, you know, because people ask, why is it FDNY? You know, I think Jersey City set up the same way, but why is it FDNY and not NYFD?
Well, NYFD was literally the abbreviation for the New York Fire Department, which was the volunteer department. The New York went through a transition in what they called the Metropolitan Fire Department, which was actually a state organized fire department. Okay, the state of New York came in and said, we're going to change this from a volunteer to a career department, and they created what they call the Metropolitan Fire Department. There also was a Metropolitan Police Department at the same time, so this is how it got its name. And then by 1870, essentially the city took control of the fire department, and then of course course, they changed the designation to FDNY, which was really to distinguish between the earlier volunteer department up to 1865 and then the paid department from 1870 till today.
Well, and again, like I said, that's one of those things that pops up. You know, just a lot of firefighters, you know, young firefighters will ask about that. And
sure.
How do they get to you know, the FDNY, and why is it kind of, they always call it backwards, and it's really not. It's just how you read it.
Right. It's a fire department of the city of New York, FDNY.
And it's just, now, one of the things, I got an email, and we keep telling folks that, you know, please let us know what you think. But I had a captain that runs a fire academy say that I know I keep complimenting you, Glennie. I can't help it, buddy. You're amazing to me, and I love you. But he goes, you know, after last show, he says, I'm going to tape them, and it's going to be required listening for our rookies. Our rookies, are, he goes, and you know what, to be honest, I think I'm going to try and get it into the firehouses where those monthly extra drills that you have, you know, where they sit down at the kitchen table and they do that, you know, tabletop, whatever. He goes, I want people to hear this. He said, to be honest, he goes, I wasn't aware of a lot of this. And again, there's probably 300 books out there you have to buy if you want to get everything, you know, about each department, the East Coast, West Coast, North, you know, everything that went on, wildland stuff. There's so many different things out there. But it was kind of cool to hear that, you know, he says, I'm going to have, you know, our rookies listen to it. I mentioned last time about Battalion Chief Jerry Wells, his articles in the December issue about, you know, how you prepare as the rookie firefighter. And it goes right back, Glenn, to your initiative to with tradition is to get more of our academy directors teaching this stuff right from the get-go. I mean, right from their first day in the academy, when they get through safety, don't whiz through, you know, and just rush through, you know, when it comes to the orientation of the fire service. Spend some time, because it really, if they don't understand why they're supposed to be taking care of this stuff, you know, don't be an officer that comes and complains and says, you know, hey, Chief Corbett, or hey, you know, Rick, you know, we can't get these young guys to take care of the rigs. We can't. Well, are you telling them? Are you telling them why? Are you telling them, you know, about our history and our heritage? And I think, Glenn, again, the more we do that, I mean, don't you think that's going to, we're going to try and, I mean, we may just grab a hold of things a little bit better?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, it's as I said before, it's the glue that creates the brotherhood. You know, it's this tradition of service and history and things like that. And, you know, that's what connects us to the past, you know, and, you know, we need to make sure that is perpetuated into the future, and that new people coming in, especially ones that don't have that fire service connection, understand that they've joined a really special group of people, and what makes us do what we do, basically. And it's all sitting on a foundation of our history and tradition.
Oh, it's incredible. It's absolutely. And Glenn, buddy, thanks again one more time.
Thank you, Rick.
Again, for today. I know we're going to, for the folks out there, for the listeners, next show, and we're going to, you know, try and get these out every other week, so we give some folks time to download and do what they've got to do. We're going to get into notable events in American Fire Service history, and there's just a ton of stuff in there. Plus, we still have some traditions, you know, we're going to talk about wedding downs and musters and red lights on firehouses and why, and eventually get to notable fires, which will bring us to why we do what we do today, for the most part. But we've got some great stuff coming up. Please get the word out. You know, this is just a lot of people have just been begging to just sit down and listen to Glenn Corbett, and here's a great opportunity to really go back and visit the things that have made the fire service just absolutely so wonderful. A lot of great people out there doing great things. Again, tell us about it. Tell Glenn. Rick@prideandownership.com is a great way. Or you can catch me at work at rlasky@cityoflouisville.com. And Glenn, what was the email address you gave out last show? If anybody has a question for you, I know you're in the middle of switching some things, but
yeah, I guess if anybody wants to email me, my school address, that's fine. It's gcorbett@jjay.cuny.edu. So it's gcorbett@jjay.cuny.edu. And if you can't write it down right now, if you just go to the John Jay College website, you can track me down there.
Well, and folks, don't, you know, just the other thing too, Glenn, and I want to mention is when do you see? And I know I think I owe you something too, buddy. when do you see that book hitting the streets? The one you mentioned before.
The new Essentials book,
yeah.
The 500 Basic book. Yeah, it's going to be released hopefully this summer.
Okay.
The plan is so. You know, we've really tried to pull together the top people, including yourself, Rick, in the fire service, and you know, provide the best information out there possible. I think this will be a groundbreaking book because we've got, as I say, all these different highly respected people involved in it, but we're all trying some new things as well. So.
Well, I'm just hanging in there because of people like you, Glennie, and Bobby Halton, and John Salka, and Alan Brunacini. It's just an honor to be hanging with my brothers and sisters and the people I'm honored to be with, but you know, that's going to wrap things up for today. Please you know, look for the next one. Again, we're going to get into some great stuff with everybody. Let us know what you're thinking. One more time, I'll throw that plea out there. We're getting, you know, a bunch of emails each day. We'd love to hear from you. Fire Engineering's doing some pretty incredible things, folks. Not just on the website with their programs, the magazine. So take a look, spend some time. You know, take ownership. Please always, as always, be safe, and we'll catch you next time.